That little girl's growing up, isn't she? It'll be a big girl. I'm just believing for God to just drop His glory and just heal. Just supernaturally heal. So many people come into the body of Christ with infirmities and they leave the same. And I know that that's not what my Father wants. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to give Your word this morning. I thank You for those who came out to sit at Your table to receive new revelation knowledge, fresh manna from heaven. Bless them, Father God. Bless them abundantly. Bless them going out and coming in. Father, I'm asking that the angelic host hold Your hands this day. Walk them through the trials and tribulations we're going through. And Father God, bring them to the other side. Total rejoicing and total victory. And we believe for every healing that needs to be manifested, Father God, to be manifested. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we have to be, we talk about walking in the Spirit, right? We have to be forever walking in the Spirit. I'm going to give an example. At 5 o'clock yesterday morning, I was sitting at my computer, and all of a sudden I just felt an urgent need to pray for somebody that I know. And it just, I was really, really pressed to really pray really hard. And so I just cried out to God and cried out to God for this person. And until it lifted. And then I expected to see something, you know, when everybody started stirring, but I didn't see nothing. But this morning I found out what I was praying for. The person's on drugs and he shot up and busted and blew out his veins. And I know that if I wouldn't have been praying, if God wouldn't have me prayed, he'd die. I'm going to tell him that when I go home. It wasn't none of my people, all right? But it was somebody I know. But see, God knew what that person was going to do. And he had me pray. And I'm believing that that's going to open that young man's eyes up really wide. This morning, I'm going to teach about discouragement. Because remember I told you one day I walked through that door and I heard a voice saying, "You're finished here." I didn't know it, but at that point, that's when the enemy started working on me super hard. And he used that as a point of contact. Because as everything started going wrong, I kept hearing this voice, "You're finished here." And I started to get discouraged and I started to walk in doubt. And some of you know I did because I talked to you. I started even doubting everything that God ever promised me. And so I'm going to teach on discouragement this morning, all right? The discouragement when you come to the end of yourself. The first Kings, do you have that? Okay. I'm going to talk about people who get discouraged, all right? Now, 1 Kings 18:22, then Elijah said to the people, "I alone am left, a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men." Elijah thought he was the only prophet left in the entire world, all right? Then 1 Kings 18:40, and Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Cushan and executed them there. This great, wonderful person of God killed all the prophets of Baal. Okay? Now, 1 Kings 19:1-4, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with his sword. See, there's the devil telling on you, right? Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." In other words, she said, "I'm going to kill you, just like you killed my prophets." And when he saw that, when Elijah saw that, he arose and ran for his life. See, where's his God? And went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers." Total discouragement. 1 Kings 19:13-18 says, "So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave." Well, this is when God was speaking to him. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" You know, Elijah's hiding in the cave. Big, great prophet now. And Elijah said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, God of hosts," bragging, right? "And because of the children of Israel, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then the Lord said to him, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. And then God said, yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth has not kissed him. He was letting Elijah know he was not the only one left. That there was how many more? 7,000 who had not yet bowed their knees. So this wonderful prophet did great exploits for the Lord. The minute the devils come after him, he ran and wanted to die. Take me home real quick, God, before the devil gets me. Isn't that how we go? Do? All right, now, let's go into the message. As we read the words of David in Psalm 38, we find this godly, righteous man at the end of himself. He was downcast and discouraged, and his struggle had drained him of all strength. That's where I was at during these 3 or 4 weeks that I've been going through this. Listen to his distraught cry in Psalm 38, 6, 8, 10, and 13 and 14. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. My heart panteth. My strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it is also going from me. I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. David totally distraught, totally discouraged. And Psalm 38, 6 through 14, in the Message Bible, it says, and now I am flat on my face, feeling sorry for myself morning to night. All my insides are on fire, my body is a wreck. I'm on my last legs. I've had it. My life is a vomit of groans. Lord, my longings are sitting in plain sight. My groans, an old story to you. My heart's about to break. I'm a burnt-out case. Cataracts blind me to God and good. Old friends avoid me like the plague. My cousins never visit. My neighbors stab me in the back. My competitors blacken my name. Devoutly they pray for my ruin. Excuse me, but I'm deaf and mute to it all. Ears shut, mouth shut. I don't hear a word they say. Don't speak a word in response. Now, how many of you have been there, honestly? As we read this psalm, we imagine David slumped in despair. Perhaps what troubled him most was that he could not understand why he was suddenly cast down so low. Some of you, if you haven't been there, you're going to go there. Perhaps what troubled him most was that he could not understand why he was suddenly cast down so low. This man hungered for the Lord, pouring out his heart daily in prayer. He revered God's word, writing psalms that extolled his glory. But now, in his depressed state, all he could do was cry, Lord, I'm at the end of my rope, and I have no idea why it's happening. Amen. I want you to get this in your spirit, because if you haven't gone there, you're going to go there. Like many discouraged Christians today, David tried to figure out why he felt so empty and broken in spirit. He probably relived every failure, sin, and foolish deed in his life. At some point, he must have thought, Lord, have all my reckless acts left me so wounded that I'm beyond hope? Finally, David reasoned that God must have been chastening him. In Psalm 38, 1 through 4, he cried, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presses me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. How many of you think God's chastening you when you're in discouragement? Let me point out here that David isn't just writing about his own condition in this psalm. He is describing something that all devoted lovers of Jesus face at some point in their lifetime. He is talking about being under a demonic attack from a plaguing spirit of discouragement. This kind of discouraging spirit comes straight from the bowels of hell, and the time comes when every dedicated believer is overwhelmed by this sudden and unexpected experience. And the time comes when every dedicated believer is overwhelmed by this sudden and unexpected experience. No Christian brings it on himself, nor does the Lord send it. Such an attack usually has nothing to do with any specific sin or failing by the believer. Very simply, the spirit of discouragement is Satan's most potent weapon against God's elect. I was to the point of such discouragement, I called Chris before God gave me the word discouragement. And I said, would you please preach Sunday night because I won't be able to. And when I sat down, I said, God, all right, what do you want me to do for Sunday morning? And he said, look up discouragement. He said, because that's where you're at. So this is why I'm preaching this. Teaching. Most often he uses it, the devil uses it to try to convince us we have brought God's wrath upon ourselves by not measuring up to his holy standards. But the Apostle Paul urges us not fall prey to the devil's snare in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. This is where I was at. I thought, God, you're finished with me. I've done something that's really, really made you angry with me, and I'm just done. Paul is saying you have to see your discouragement for what it really is. It's a demonic weapon, an arrow that Satan shoots at you from his quiver to get you to doubt yourself. And that's where I was. He knows he can't tempt you to turn away from Jesus, so he swamps you with vicious lies to make you think you'll never be good enough to serve Christ. He wants to get you so downcast that you will want to throw in the towel. Ask yourself if David's heart cry is your own cry whenever you're overwhelmed by the spirit of discouragement. Feebleness, soreness, brokenness, troubles, disquietness, and mourning, all of these things bowed David's spirit low. He felt dry and empty without direction, as if he had learned nothing over the years. Are you getting this in your spirit? Psalm 38:10, as for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. David is saying, I have lost my spiritual understanding. My vision and revelation of the Lord have left me. I can't reach God as I used to. I know just how David felt. God has used me powerfully. I have been full of such rich blessings. But in the past 2 weeks, I became overwhelmed with discouragement. My final thoughts were, Lord, my life has been a complete waste. I'm not accomplishing anything for you at this given point. That's the work of Satan's spirit of discouragement. It makes us a target for the powers of hell within moments of our greatest spiritual victory. This heavy demonic spirit laid David so low he was dumbfounded in God's presence. He said in Psalm 38:13-14, but I as a deaf man heard not, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. The Hebrew meaning of the last phrase is a man who has no more answers or arguments left. A man who has no more answers or arguments left. David was saying, Lord, I'm too down and discouraged to even lift my hand up to you. I can't pray because I'm too confused to speak. I'm drained and empty. I have nothing to say. And that's where I was at. All right? David's trial was not at all unique. I've read many biographies of devout men and women whom the Lord used mightily, and every one of these people struggled through the same kind of crippling discouragement. The great British preacher C.H. Spurgeon led multitudes to Christ through his powerful sermons, but he suffered awful bouts with melancholy. He often felt as if he had accomplished nothing in his life. He once lamented, I've got the blackest heart in Britain. Frequently he would go into his garden, raise his hands to God, and cry, Lord, I've never desired you more, yet my spirit has never been so low. Why is this happening? David voiced the universal cry of the righteous soul that endures an attack of discouragement. Psalm 38:17 says, I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. Now the word halt here in Hebrew means fall. David was telling God, I'm not going to make it, Lord. I'm at my absolute end, and I'm about to fall. And when I was going through the strongest part of this, I kept remembering where God said, be careful lest when you preach to others, you yourself fall. That kept coming to me over and over again. God knew I was going to come to this point in my life. He knew the enemy was going to speak to me as I walked through that door, and he knew how the enemy was going to bombard me. So he warned me to be careful lest when I preached to others, I myself would fall. And so at that point, I had to stop and think, all right, what have I been preaching? What have I been teaching? What have I been encouraging others to do? God will always be tender with us in our helpless condition, but we are never to allow unbelief to settle in our hearts. We can talk to God all we want about our feelings of failure. We can tell him about our despair over our sins and foolish mistakes, but we are never to entertain the thought that he has abandoned us. This is a serious accusation, and our Lord doesn't take it lightly. We see his immediate response to this kind of accusation, Hebrews 21:4-6. Israel journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, much people of Israel died. They questioned, they said, God, you abandoned us, and God didn't. God never, he promises, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When the Bible tells me my loving Heavenly Father sent fiery serpents upon his own people, and that they died from the snake bites, I can't ignore the very clear message, God will not allow such unbelief among his elect. Remember years ago, God said, if you ever go into doubt and unbelief, I'm going to remove your candlestick, and that's your ministry. After all that our precious Lord has done for us, the most hurtful accusation we can make against him is that he has neglected us. We must be aware of such unbelief, especially in our difficult times. David is our example of someone who kept his faith. Even at his lowest point, David wouldn't allow himself to wallow in unbelief. In Psalm 38:15, he cried for, in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God. If you are enduring an attack from a demonic spirit of discouragement, I suggest you do these three things. Number one, do not try to maneuver your way out of it. Don't try to escape the attack through your own wits. You are no match for the demonic spirit you are up against. The battle is far beyond your human skill or physical power to wage. Nor can you merely talk it out with friends or try to overcome it through books, seminars, or counselors. The conflict is in the spiritual realm, and it has to be fought in this spirit. And I fought, and I fought, and I fought, and I commanded the devil to leave me alone. And he kept fighting back and kept fighting back, and that's why we've been singing these warfare songs we've been singing, because it was time to fight. And I don't just mean today, I mean other services. I had us sing these warfare songs that I knew we was under a severe attack, and I knew that if we didn't fight, if we didn't get that down to our spirit to fight, he was going to take us out. In David's time of discouragement, David couldn't figure out why he was so cast down. He asked Psalm 42:5, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Yet his questions were not doubts about God. David actually begins the psalm by expressing his deep thirst for the Lord. In Psalm 42:1-2, he says, as the hart or the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? In the midst of his discouragement, David cried out for a revelation of the Lord. He was saying, God, there's never been a time when I've loved you more. I thirst for you like the running deer who pants for water. So why am I so cast down? Why am I suffering such overwhelming discouragement? We know that at times David experienced despair and depression because of his sin. He endured the Lord's chasing for his pride when he numbered his fighting men, which was against God's law. And he felt the pain of God's rod when he committed adultery with Bathsheba and arranged to have her husband murdered. His heart broke with dejection over the judgment he brought on his family because of these sins. In like manner, many believers today are discouraged because of their sins. Some are depressed because the Holy Spirit has wanted to bring them into victory, but they resist. They have chosen the way of the flesh, and that always leads to pain and discouragement. Some are depressed because the Holy Spirit has wanted to bring them into victory, but they resist. They have chosen the way of the flesh, and that always leads to pain and discouragement. However, I am addressing repentant believers here this morning, those who seek God with all their hearts. These faithful servants are gripped by a different kind of discouragement. This kind comes upon them suddenly out of nowhere for no apparent reason, and it totally dumbfounds them. If this is true of you, you can be absolutely sure you are under attack. You know, with me, I remembered all the promises that God gave me, and I kept looking at the circumstances, and I didn't see any of these promises come into pass. And that even brought more discouragement. I think I'm getting ahead of myself here. Satan has sent a cloud of discouragement to overwhelm you, and he has his reason for doing so. We need to understand that discouragement is the devil's most devastating tool in his attacks on spirit-hungry saints. It has been the enemy's weapon of choice for centuries against God's elect. And from the day you became serious about the things of God, determining in your heart to know Christ in his fullness, Satan has sought to discourage you. He has watched you dig deeper into God's word every day. He has seen you changing, growing, and overcoming all worldliness. So he has made you a target for heavy attack, and you better believe that attack will come. Right now, you may be able to praise God loudly in church, saying, "This is the greatest day of joy I've ever had." But watch out for what comes tomorrow. Satan will use his most powerful weapon, discouragement, to try to bring you down. I was to a place I'd sit here and I couldn't even sing. The words just wouldn't come. You know, I just didn't have it in me to sing. However, when the attack comes, don't think it's unusual. God allows this kind of fiery testing with all his saints. God allows this kind of fiery testing with all his saints. Peter writes in 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Discouragement is a trial God's people have endured for centuries. All right, the second thing you need to do is go to prayer, giving the Holy Spirit time to do his work. When you're under attack from the enemy's spirit of discouragement, you won't feel like praying. But you must still go to the secret place and be in Jesus' presence. You don't need to worry about trying to pray your way out of despair. This is a time for God's Spirit to go to work in you. It's his job to lift you out of the pit. When you go to the Lord, be honest with him. Tell him how weak and helpless you feel. Let him know, "Jesus, I'm dry. I have no strength left. If I'm ever going to get out of this depression, you're going to have to make it happen." I just sit and say, "God, I can't pray, so I'm just sitting in your presence. You're just going to have to just overshadow me, because I can't pray." In such low times, the Lord is very patient with us. He doesn't expect us to exert some intense, fervent effort in prayer. He knows our condition and he sympathizes with us. So just sit in his presence and trust his Spirit to do in you what he has been sent to do. It doesn't matter how cast down you are, he will never forsake you. We have the notion that every time, we have the notion that every time we feel the Lord, the Holy Spirit flits away like a bird. How can God's Spirit abandon me when I need him the most? If he leaves me whenever I fail and fall deep into discouragement, how could he be my comforter? That wouldn't provide any comfort at all. In fact, it would leave me in Satan's power. Likewise, if the Holy Spirit is my soul's sanctifier, how could he do this work if he flies in and out of my life every time I fail? How could I ever see my sin without the Spirit's presence there to convict me of it? How could I know how to change if he wasn't there to guide and direct me? Jesus promises us in John 14:6-18, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." So, you know, as the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. But this is not grieving the Holy Spirit when you're in discouragement. You need the Holy Spirit there to help you. I even cried out, "Holy Spirit, please come and just hold me and comfort me," because I didn't know what I was going through. When the devil's heavy spirit of discouragement settles over your life, you may be so distraught you can't even whisper a prayer. But even if you can't utter a word, you can talk to Jesus in your spirit. Just tell him softly, "Lord, help me. This attack is too much for me. I can't do anything but sit here in faith. I'm trusting your Spirit to drive it out of me." And the first thing the Spirit will do when he comes is expose all of Satan's lies. John 14:26 says, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." And this is what I said when I was going through this. I kept hearing Jesus tell me, "Be careful lest when I taught others, I myself would fall." And God kept telling me that, you know, the Holy Spirit did, until I finally sunk in that I had to stand on faith just like I teach others to do. I'm experiencing a particularly heavy attack of discouragement right now. I've never felt closer to God. I'm excited about all the promises coming to pass in my life that God has been speaking to my heart. But one morning something hit me. I was overcome by an intense despair. It came out of nowhere, weighing me down heavily. And it happened for no apparent reason. So I want you to think about what I'm saying here. When I worked on a song service, it was a struggle. When I prayed about what to teach on, I heard nothing. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't shake it. I couldn't get anywhere. Suddenly, I was bombarded with doubts about my calling and my ability to finish the race set before me. I started to look at the circumstances around about me, and I questioned God's promises to me. I would sit at my computer determined to dig out a message, but nothing ever came. My mind was so blank and my spirit was dull, unable to hear anything from the Lord. I sank deeper and deeper into despair, thinking God is totally finished with me. Yet I kept putting together sermons all the time, thinking I'm not helping anybody. Constantly thinking, has my light gone out? I was convinced I had nothing to give the people. And that all ended Saturday night, when God said, "I want you to look up discouragement." But until then, I felt like God was finished with me. I felt like I had done something that displeased God, and he just walked away. I would just sit in front of the computer hoping to hear something from the Lord, but complete silence. All I could say was, "Lord, I really don't want to do, I don't know what to do. I feel so lost I can't even pray. But one thing I know, I love you no matter what you do with me. I ask, why is this happening? Please, God, help me." You know, I was going through all that discouragement yet, but every morning at 3 o'clock, God wake me up and give me the word for the day. But yet I felt like he was finished with me. Isn't that dumb thinking? You see how twisted that Satan had my mind going? And when people were in trouble, God had me pray before the thing happened. But yet I felt like he was finished with me. I felt like I was of no use to nobody. And then I even convinced myself, well, God's only doing this just because the people expect that word every day. When the devil comes with his spirit of discouragement, he bombards you with one lie after another. He lies to you about your marriage, your family, your friendships, your calling, your walk with the Lord. Then he begins to replay in your mind every sin, failure, foolish thing you've ever done. By the time he's finished, you're crying out, "God, I'll never make it." This is exactly what the devil has been doing to me. While in prayer, I have been enduring his bombardment of hellish lies. That's when God's still small voice broke through to my spirit. He spoke to me words full of love and compassion. "Daughter, you're greatly loved. Don't worry, my hand is upon you. You're under severe attack, but you don't have to fear. You don't need any strength of your own for this battle. I have everything you need." You see how God comes in? The first thing the Holy Spirit does in such times is to bring to your remembrance all the precious promises of Jesus. And so he has been doing with me. He has been flooding my soul with dozens of promises I knew from God's word. And he assured me, "Your life isn't over. You don't know it, but you haven't even started yet. The best is still ahead of you." I wished I could say that at this point my spirit soared within me, but it didn't. Saturday morning in the wee hours of the morning, I asked myself this question. Why did I ever put up with any of this discouragement? It's not from my Father. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. He undoes that. The Holy Spirit let me see that it was not the Father that was doing this, that it was the devil. The Holy Spirit undoes the lies of the enemy and brings encouragement from on high. Satan brings discouragement. God brings encouragement. Dare to believe the incredibly good things the Holy Spirit is going to tell you. Multitudes of Christians enter God's presence every day expecting to be reproved by him. How that must grieve our Lord. When we go to prayer, we ought to be prepared to hear a good word from our loving Father. But many believers rarely are. On the other hand, there are entire denominations that avoid any mention of holy reproof. They say very little about sin because they want to preach only positive, upbeat messages. In the process, they ignore all the convicting, life-giving reproofs spoken by Christ and the New Testament writers. And I wrote this because in this discouragement, I was afraid to pray true to tell you the truth for fear that God was going to tell me he was finished with me. All right? And I should never have done that. I should never have been afraid to go into the presence of the Father. All right, such churches claim to preach a gospel of love, mercy, and grace, but sadly they misuse God's grace, turning it into a license to sin. See, I know that God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is more than enough. And I know that the enemy will come and try to make us believe we don't have the grace of God in our lives. And he'll try to make, then he tells the sinner who really isn't saved, you're doing fine. But he tells God's people, you have a problem. You see how he does this? Twists everything. This morning, be assured all who wait on the Lord will receive his glorious promises. Isaiah 64:4 tells us, since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. 1 Corinthians 2:9-10, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. During these weeks of discouragement, I've had 3 invitations to go preach, but I felt like I didn't have anything left, everything to give, and all I would take is my flesh, so I turned them all down. Reverend Barbara asked me to preach at the Globe, and I thought I had nothing to give, but after I come out of this discouragement, then God said, I want you to do this thing that she asked, so I told her I would. See, I don't want to go anywhere in my flesh. And the enemy made me believe that that's all I was flesh. And so I turned everything down. And I want you guys, if you go through this discouragement or if you're going through it, to understand one thing. You need to go ahead and work for the Father, no matter how you feel, how downcast you are. Because the Father is not casting you down, the enemy is. And the more you work for the Father, the more you go forth and do for him, the more victory you attain for yourself. But if you do like I did and just refuse to go and minister to anybody, you give the enemy the glory. You understanding this? Let's take a closer look at 2 phrases from the passage in Corinthians, verse 9. The things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Satan can attack you, flooding you with lies and discouraging words. But if you'll simply wait on the Lord, his Spirit will come to you in the midst of the attack and drive out all the devil's lies. How? He will give you a revelation of all the good things God has prepared for you because you love him. Our God has a wonderful plan for every single child who loves him. And no satanic attack against his children can ever alter those plans. God knows the sorrows, struggles, and pain we may be facing today. But he also knows the glorious things he has laid out ahead of us. He knows the revelation we will receive, the usefulness we will enjoy, the fruit we will see, the joy and peace we will possess. He has a good word for all who love him. Number 2, verse 10, God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The Lord desires to show us his good word about what he has prepared for us. And his Spirit is the messenger who bears that good word. The Holy Spirit will give wings to our drooping spirits with God's revelation to us, and we will fly like eagles out of Satan's snare. Listen to these wonderful words from Isaiah 40:28-31. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That is the work of the Holy Spirit to encourage us. Our work is simply to trust him to fulfill what the Father has sent him to do. Go to your prayer closet, secret closet right now, even in your discouraged state, and quiet yourself before the Lord. Even if you don't have strength enough to speak, you can reach out to him in the Spirit. And that's what I continually did. I'd go out there and sit in front of that computer. And finally, I just say, "You're not going to talk to me." And I get up and I walk away. Then I go back again. I sit there and wait and hear absolutely nothing. Then I leave and I go back again. Speak to him this prayer. "Lord, I know your Spirit abides in me. And I know you have sent him to comfort me, strengthen me, and reveal the mind of Christ to me. So, Holy Spirit, I turn to you right now in simple childlike faith. Speak to my heart your words of comfort. I don't have any strength left. You're going to have to lift me up and lead me." You know why God had, see why God had me start preaching on the Holy Spirit? He knew I was going to have to dig into that secret thing that we've been teaching. He knew I was going to apply it to my life. The Spirit of Christ won't let you be deceived. He will show you the good things God has ahead for you. But you must dare to believe he will speak to you. You're not going to faint. You're going to come out of your trial more victorious because your faith will have been tested and tried as gold. And you will see the Lord fulfill every promise he has made to you. And through this whole time, you know, I would say, "God, I really do love you." And he would say, "I know you do, daughter. And I'm with you." And that's, then he'd be quiet. But he gave me that calm assurance that he still loved me. I didn't know what I was going through, and I didn't know why I was going through it. But he would speak that calm assurance that he knew I loved him, that he loved me too. I don't know why I had to go through it this long. And during this whole thing, I really found a lot out about myself. I found out that I was in a weakened condition. I found out that the devil had been bombarding me for a couple of years now, and he'd got me to a place where I got discouraged. He let this, you know, I let in the Spirit. I opened the door, really, because I was so tired. It just, nothing was going the way God said it was supposed to go. Everything was going just the opposite. And I couldn't understand why. And my constant cry to God was, "Why, God, are your promises not coming to pass as you promised me?" He'd say, "I love you." That's all he'd say. But he knew I would come through it. Because I went through it, now I can strengthen others. I can tell you, when that spirit of discouragement comes, keep your eyes upon the Lord and not the circumstances. But keep your eyes upon the Lord and keep trusting him, because he's right there in that mess with you. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. Amen. This morning, God wants to cover you with a special covering, a special anointing, where the spirit of discouragement will not come upon you and take you out. There's a special mantle I'm hearing him say that he wants to place upon you people, that you won't have to go through what I went through. Because you don't have time to go through what I went through. There's a mighty works that God has for each one of you to do in here. And you can't do it walking in discouragement. So the altar's open for anybody that wants that special anointing. And if you're in discouragement, this anointing's going to take you out of that discouragement. Nancy Connell, will you anoint the people with the oil of gladness as they're standing here?